This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chicano, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. This is The Storyteller, bringing you stories and music from around the world and from many cultures. I'm Natalie Harris. The Storytellers cannot be made possible without the generous contributions of KZFR members and by CORE, Community Options for Resources and Education, a personalized learning California charter school accredited by the Western Association of Schools and Colleges. CORE offers a unique blended classroom and non-classroom public education model based on the needs and interests of each individual student. Information is available on the web at coretca.org or by calling 894-3952. So I just played the Sleeping Beauty Waltz by Tchaikovsky, and we're doing a princess theme this week because princesses have a huge role in my life, and even though it may seem more of a girly thing, princesses can teach us lessons, whether you're a boy or a girl or whether you are a child or an adult. For our first story, it teaches us that love is out there and that you just have to be patient in order to find it. Here is The Glass Heart, A Tale of Three Princesses by Sally Gardner. In all the hustle and bustle of getting ready for Nana's birthday party, Rosie had been forgotten. She had wandered off to her Nana's bedroom where she left to look at all of Nana's little things. Her favorite was the glass heart that lay on a velvet cushion, so delicate that Rosie was sure it had been made by the fairies. Then something awful happened. Rosie had been told not to touch the glass heart, and she didn't mean to, but now it lay in pieces on the floor. Rosie burst into tears. She knew Nana loved the glass heart, and she would be so cross. But Nana wasn't cross. "It doesn't matter. These things happen," she said. "Broken things can be mended so they're as good as new, if not better." And she picked up the pieces and put them in a box. "Did you know, Rosie, that some people have glass hearts? If they're touched gently, they ring out like silver bells, but if they are given a jolt, they can break in two." "Like your glass heart," said Rosie. "Sort of," said Nana. "Now would you like me to tell you a story?" "Oh, yes," said Rosie. She cuddled up with Nana and listened to the distant sound of people putting out glasses for the party. "Shall I begin?" said Nana. Once, long ago, there was a king and queen who lived in a city built on water. "Why was it built on water?" asked Rosie. "Because it was a magical city," said Nana. They had three beautiful daughters who all had glass hearts. "Children," said the queen, "you must take great care of your hearts. They are very fragile and you are very precious." So the girls did their best to stay out of harm's way. But one day, the eldest of the three princesses was looking out of the window when a grand boat passed by carrying a prince. The princess's heart gave a leap of joy. Surely this was the prince of her dreams! But the prince did not even notice her smiling down at him. He was too busy staring at his own reflection in the water and seeing how handsome he looked. The princess's heart went ping! The glass had broken and she fell down quite dead. A little while later, the second princess was walking in the garden and knelt down to smell a perfect pink rose. Its perfume was so gorgeous that her heart gave a ting. The glass had cracked and she fell to the ground. The king and queen ran to lift her up. They were overjoyed to see that she was all right. But a heart that is cracked has to be treated with care. It will break in two. The princess, who was a very brave girl, told her parents not to fuss. She would lie by the window on a chaise lounge and watch the world go by with her little dog to keep her company. "Sometimes hearts with cracks last even longer than hearts without," said the princess. All this time, the youngest princess was growing up. She was so beautiful and so sweet and sensible that everyone loved her. Many princes asked for her hand in marriage, but the king and queen were in no hurry to marry her off. A daughter with a glass heart should be careful who she falls in love with, in case her heart is broken. "If she is to marry anyone," said the king, "he must not only be a prince, he must be good with glass as well." But none of the princes knew anything about glass, so the king and queen had to turn them all away. Now, the king had a handsome young page called Valentino, who was learning to be a courtier. One of his duties was to carry the princess's train, which he did very well. The princess liked the way he talked, and he was secretly in love with her. One day the princess tripped. Valentino caught her effortlessly. Taking her hand, he helped her to a chair. It was then that the princess noticed something about him. "What?" said Rosie. "I'm not going to tell you. You will have to wait and see," said Nana. The king was so grateful that he gave Valentino a fine cloak as a reward. "Now you are free to go out into the world and make your fortune," said the king, "and I wish you all the best." Even though Valentino's heart was not made of glass, he felt it would break if he had to leave the princess. She was sad too. "If only you were a prince and good with glass as well," she sighed. "There's nothing I can do to make myself a prince," said Valentino, "but I will learn all there is to know about glass, and then I will come back and try to win your hand." Valentino took a gondola from the palace. Then he sailed across the lagoon in a little boat to an island not far away. He went to see a glassblower he had heard of who can make goblets and glasses and tiny glass animals so delicate that the slightest puff of wind would shatter them into 1,000 pieces. "You will teach me all there is to know about glass," says Valentino. "I will, but it will take 3 years," said the glassblower. "The first year you will have to get up early to fetch bread from the bakery and look after the children. The second year you will learn how to make a fire hot enough to melt glass, and the third year I will teach you all there is to know." Valentino was impatient. He wanted to get back quickly to his princess, so he asked if he could just do the last part. But the glassblower laughed and said, "Everything has to be done in the right order at the right time, otherwise no good will come of it." So the first year Valentino got up early to fetch the bread from the bakery and look after the glassblower's children. The second year he learned how to make a fire hot enough to melt glass. The third year he learned how to blow glass and model it. And by the end of the year he had made 3 glasses so delicate they looked as if they were made out of rainbows. "They're fit for a king," said the glassblower. "I have nothing more to teach you." Valentino packed the glasses with great care, wrapped himself in his fine cloak, and said goodbye to the glassblower and all his children. Then he started on the long journey back to the city built on water to see his princess. But as he got closer to the city, his courage failed him. Why would such a beautiful princess look twice at him? Surely by now she would have met and married a prince who was good with glass. He was sitting by the roadside, his head in his hands, when a traveling circus passed by. "Where are you going and why so sad?" asked the clown. Valentino told him about the princess with the glass heart. "Well, you're in luck," said the clown. "She hasn't found anyone to marry. Princes have come from far and wide, but they know nothing about glass, and they were far too grand to be bothered to learn. So now the king is looking not for a prince, but for a man who is good with glass and 2 more things besides." Valentino felt his heart would burst with joy. "Do you know what these things are?" he asked. "Yes," said the clown. "The princess must like the young man, and he must have hands as soft as velvet." Valentino thanked the clown and hurried on. When he reached the city built on water, he found a long line of glaciers waiting outside the palace. "What are glaciers?" asked Rosie. "People who put the glass in windows," said Nana. The princes had turned them all down because although they knew a lot about glass, their hands were rough from working with putty all day. Valentino went up to the palace gates and asked to speak to the king. The guard knew him by his cloak and let him in. Then Valentino presented the king with the 3 glasses. The king was most impressed, for it is difficult to carry anything so fragile without breaking it. He called for his daughter to come and look. The princess was so happy to see Valentino again that a smile as bright as the sun spread over her face. She was delighted when he told her he had made the glasses himself. "Oh, Papa, this is the man for me," said the princess. "He is good with glass, and I know his hands are as soft as velvet." She had noticed that when she had tripped. The king and queen were happy that at last they had found the perfect young man for their daughter. There was a big wedding and a great mass ball, and the glassblower and all his children came, and so did the traveling circus. Valentino always looked after his princess with great tenderness and care. They had many children and lived as happy as larks in the palace. "What about the second princess, the one with the cracked heart?" asked Rosie. "Well," said Nana, "the second princess still had to spend most of her time resting. She didn't mind because she had her little dog and her nephews and nieces, who thought she was the best auntie in the world. She told them stories, explained the stars to them, and wiped away their tears. Everyone loved her, and she lived to a ripe old age in spite of the crack in her heart. She was fond of saying, 'Well, my dears, that's the way it is. Something that is broken and mended often lasts much longer than something that is new.'" "Do you think she was right?" asked Rosie. "Yes, I do. I remember when I was your age that I dropped a pretty milk jug that my mother had, and it cracked. My mother mended it very carefully, and it has lasted ever since. Do you know I still have it, and I wouldn't exchange it for all the new milk jugs in the world? Now, Sinanna, shall we go down and join the party?" The end. I love that story so much. I think the love story is just adorable. And speaking of love, Disney's first Disney princess, she is Snow White. She is incredibly patient, and she waits for her love to come and find her. Here is "Someday My Prince Will Come" from Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Once there was a princess.
Was the princess you?
And she fell in love.
Was it hard to do?
It was very easy.
Anyone could see that the prince was charming. The only one for me.
Was he strong and handsome?
Was he big and tall?
There's nobody like him. Anywhere at all.
Did he say he loved you?
Did he steal a kiss?
He was so romantic. I could not resist. Yeah.
Welcome back to The Storyteller. I'm Natalie Harris. In case if you're just joining us, we are doing a princess theme this week because princesses can teach us all sorts of lessons. This next book is one that is very unique and one that I think everyone here will enjoy. Here is Princess Hyacinth, The Surprising Tale of a Girl Who Floated by Florence Perry Hayti. Princess Hyacinth had a problem. Well, you're saying everyone has a problem. But this was an unusual problem. Oh, she didn't look unusual. That wasn't it. She had two eyes with a nose between them and a mouth under that. You know, the usual things in the usual arrangement. In fact, if she wasn't all dressed up in her princess clothes, you'd think she was just anybody. So what was the problem? Princess Hyacinth floated. Unless she was attached to something or weighted down, she just floated up, up, up. So the king and queen had little golden weights sewn into the hems of Princess Hyacinth's gowns and little diamond pebbles sewn into the tops of her socks. Her crown had the heaviest jewels of the kingdom and a rhinestone strap under her chin to keep it on. As long as she was all dressed up in her princess thing, she didn't float at all. In fact, she could hardly move. But the minute her crown was off and her gown and all that, up, up, up she would go in her royal underwear. The only time she could take off her royal stuff was when she was in the palace. Then if she floated, and of course she did, she just floated up to the ceiling and they could always get her down in the morning. Why can't I float around outside? Was the question Princess Hyacinth had asked 6 million times. Because you'd just float away altogether, her parents explained. Poor Princess Hyacinth. She wished she could run outside like the children who came to play on the palace grounds. Instead, she sat at the window in her royal bathing suit, wearing a seatbelt, looking at all the children having fun. One was a red-headed boy who could fly his sky-blue kite higher than all the others. His name was Boy. He waved at Princess Hyacinth every day, and she waved back. He smiled at her, and she smiled back. Boy had painted a gold crown on his kite in honor of the princess. Wasn't that nice? Boy had come over to her window to say hello a couple of times. Well, 7 times. She had counted every single one. Today he walked over again. I like your kite, said Princess Hyacinth. I like your crown, said Boy. He turned to go. And I like you, he said over his shoulder. At least that's what Princess Hyacinth thought, he said. Maybe he had just said, toodaloo, or yakky-doodle-doo. She couldn't be sure. After a while, the children left the palace grounds. I'm terribly, horribly, dreadfully bored, said the princess. She decided to go to the park. Of course, she had to get all dressed up in her princess clothes first. The weights and everything, the crown and everything. And then off she went, walking to the park. Well, she wasn't exactly walking. She was sort of dragging along. She saw a balloon man coming toward her. Suddenly, Princess Hyacinth had an excellent idea. Mr. Balloon Man, she said, I'd like to float up there with the balloons. That, said the balloon man, is impossible. No, it isn't, said Princess Hyacinth firmly. If I took off all my princess clothes, you could tie a string to my ankle and I could float. Oh dear, said the balloon man, but since she was the princess, she got her way. Princess Hyacinth took off everything from tip to toe, except her royal underwear, and put it in a neat pile under her umbrella. She left a sign, Do not touch, property of the princess. The balloon man tied a string to her ankle and held on to the other end, and up she went. I feel like a balloon, said the princess. The balloon man walked through the park, and Princess Hyacinth bobbed along with the balloons. It was pretty exciting. But alas and alack, somehow or other, the balloon man let go of the string that was attached to Princess Hyacinth, and up she went. Oh, wow, said the princess. The balloon man ran to tell a policeman. The policeman told the palace guards. The palace guards notified the king and queen. Oh, dear, said the queen. The king got out his binoculars so that he could watch the princess as she floated up and up. As long as I keep an eye on her, she won't get into any trouble, he said. Princess Hyacinth floated higher and higher, but hey, she loved the free bird feeling. She whirled and twirled, she swooshed and she swirled, she zigged and she zagged and she zigzagged. She zoomed and carooned and cartwheeled. She did handsprings and handstands, flip-flops and fandangons. It was the most fun she had ever had in her whole life. And all that time she was floating up, up, up. Now she couldn't even see the castle. I never knew the sky was so high, she thought. She saw something nearby. What could it be? She looked closer. What was it? It was her crown, her golden crown. What was it doing here? So she was close enough now to touch it. Look, it was Boy's kite with the painting of her crown. Oh my, before she knew it, she was tangled up. Now what? Down on the ground, Boy felt a tug and started to reel in his kite, princess and all. The king, who had been watching her through his binoculars so that she wouldn't get into any trouble, saw the whole thing. Oh, hooray! Princess Hyacinth had been rescued! Boy was a hero. The king gave him a bag of gold. Now what? Well, since Princess Hyacinth had had such a wonderful time floating up there in the air, she wanted to do that every single day. And she did. Every day she went out to the palace grounds in her royal underwear, and up, up, up she would float. Then Boy would fly his kite up, up, up right next to her, and reel her in when she wanted to come down. And then she would invite him into the palace for tea and popcorn. The problem about the floating was never solved, and that's too bad. But Princess Hyacinth was never bored again. Good. The end. I told you that story was a little weird, but I love it. It's very sweet, and I love the relationship between the boy and Princess Hyacinth. And Princess Hyacinth, she wanted to get out of her palace grounds. She wanted to go beyond the palace walls and explore the wonderful world around here. Well, flying, of course. And another princess I know, Princess Jasmine from Aladdin, she wanted to get out of the palace grounds too. She was tired of having to obey all the princess rules, and she just wanted to be a normal girl for once and to be with all the other people in her kingdom. Here is these palace walls from Disney's Broadway production of Aladdin.
A princess must say this.
A princess must marry a total stranger. It's absurd.
Suitors talk of love, but it's an act merely meant to throw me. How can someone love me when in fact they don't know me? They want my royal treasure. When all is said and done, it's time for a desperate measure. So I wonder, so far from you, I know the girl I might become here. Sad and confined, and always locked behind these palace walls.
I don't know, princess. For someone like you, the outside world might be kind of overwhelming.
Is that a promise?
I think it does some good.
You do?
Honey, I've never seen somebody who needed to get out more.
Told to show devotion every day,
and not second guesses.
If a new emotion comes my way,
you suppress it.
What would be your suggestion?
Stand on your own 2 feet
and ask why a certain question keeps repeating.
Why shouldn't I fly so far from here?
I tried. Am I prepared for what's outside? Why shouldn't I fly so far from here? Something awaits beyond these palace walls.
Something waits beyond these palace walls.
Welcome back to The Storyteller. I'm Natalie Harris. In case if you're just joining us, we are doing a princess theme this week because princesses have all sorts of lessons that they can teach us. This next story is one that is a twist on an original, The Princess and the Pea. And this one is called The Princess and the Packet of Frozen Peas by Toni Wilson. Once upon a time, there was a prince called Henrik who wanted very much to fall in love and get married. He was an outdoorsy type and hoped that the princess he married would like hockey and camping. There are many girls who wanted to marry a prince. Every time Henrik left the palace, groups of screaming girls would yell, "Oh my goodness, it's him!" and throw flowers in his general direction. Henrik decided to ask his brother for advice. "The most important thing is to make sure she is a real princess," Prince Hans said. "A real princess is very beautiful and very sensitive. When I met my wife, Princess Eva, I made a stack of 20 mattresses and 20 quilts. Then I put a single pea under the bottom mattress. If a girl complains about feeling the pea through mattresses and quilts, she must be a real princess." "Did Princess Eva complain?" Prince Henrik asked. "You bet. She complained a lot," said Prince Hans. Prince Henry decided to watch Princess Eva to see what a real princess was like. He found her at the tennis court where she was being sensitive about the tennis balls. "These tennis balls are too bouncy!" He followed her to the driveway and saw her being sensitive about her new sports car. "This isn't the car I wanted. I wanted one with drink holders and yellow." Prince Henrik wondered whether perhaps Princess Eva was a little too sensitive. Prince Henrik decided he didn't want to marry a real princess like Princess Eva. He wanted to marry the exact opposite. She didn't have to be beautiful or sensitive. She just had to like hockey and camping and have a nice smile. And so Prince Henrik came up with the plan. Whenever a girl came to stay, he offered to make up the guest room. Instead of 20 mattresses, Henrik found one thin camping mattress. Instead of 20 quilts, Henrik found one old sleeping bag. Instead of a single pea, the prince decided to use a whole packet of frozen peas. Many young girls visited, but none passed the test. "You won't believe this. I found peas in my bed. I couldn't sleep at all. There was a massive lump under the mattress. What's the deal with the packet of frozen peas?" Then one morning, Henrik's old friend Pippa came to stay. They had a great day riding horses, playing hockey, and spying on Princess Eva as she complained about everything in the palace. "If she's a real princess," Henrik joked, "I want to marry the opposite." Henrik and Pippa laughed. For the first time, Prince Henrik noticed what a lovely laugh his friend had. That night, he decided to test her with the packet of frozen peas. The following morning, Henrik sat in the corridor outside the guest room. He waited and waited and waited. Finally, Pippa emerged, yawning. "How did you sleep?" asked Henrik. "Fantastically well, thank you." Pippa handed him a packet of mushy peas. "I found this under the mattress last night," she said. "It was the perfect ice pack. I had a bit of a sore shin from playing hockey." The prince beamed. Pippa beamed back. She had a lovely gap between her two front teeth. "Will you marry me?" asked Prince Henrik. "But I'm not a real princess," Pippa answered. "Even better," said Henrik. "You'll be an unreal princess." The end. I love that story so much because it kind of talks about what we talked about last week, where you just have to be yourself, and if you continuously be yourself, then there is definitely someone out there that will love you for being you. I really hope you enjoyed tonight's show. Remember, the story tells can often be made possible through the generous contributions of Kids Farm members and by Florida Native Nursery and Restoration, Where the Wild Things Grow, a California native nursery committed to the use of sustainable native plants for landscaping and restoration projects. For information about native plants and drought-tolerant landscape design, visit Floral Native Nursery and Restoration at 2511 Floral Avenue or call 892-2511 online at floralnativenursery.com. And make sure to stay tuned for LA Sound's Señor Felipe. So as we can see, princesses and fairy tales teach us a lot about the world around us, which is why I love them so much. They teach us to be kind to others and to everyone, and even to little animals too. And they tell us to not lose hope and that it's okay if we're a little bit different or a little bit odd and different from those around us, because it's what all makes us unique and special. And it also teaches us that love is out there for everyone, not just for selected people. Like how in The Princess and the Packet of Frozen Peas, it shows that Pippa, she wasn't a princess, but a prince still loved her. Anyone can love you, even if you have a gap between your two front teeth or you like to play hockey and camping, because there's always someone out there that loves you just for being yourself and for being uniquely you. And also, it teaches you that love is always there no matter what, and that even through tough times, love and happiness will come once again. My favorite princess is Cinderella. My first favorite princess was Sleeping Beauty, which is why I played a song from that in the beginning of the show. And the reason why I like Cinderella so much is because she never loses hope, and she always believes in magic. And that's something that I strongly believe in, is that even when you're going through the toughest of times, you have to continuously believe in yourself and also in magic and kindness and happiness and love, and not give up on those hopes and dreams of yours, because they can come true, but only if you have the courage to pursue them, as Walt Disney said. The animated version is absolutely wonderful, and last year Disney created a live action version of the film. It was wonderful, and I saw it so many times, and it just added a new spark of magic to the animated film. Don't even get me started on the dress. It's so beautiful. I love it. And The Cinderella, it's a classic tale, and the message will always stay true, that no matter how your heart is beating, if you keep on believing, the dreams that you wish will come true. Again, I hope you enjoyed tonight's show and that you learned something from these wonderful, unique princesses tonight. Make sure to stay tuned for Ellis Dance, Señor Felipe. Here is A Dream is a Wish Your Heart Makes from the Cinderella 2015 version. See you next time.
A dream is a wish your heart makes when you're fast asleep. In dreams you will lose your heartaches. Whatever you wish for, you keep. Have faith in your dreams and someday your rainbow will come smiling through. No matter how your heart is grieving, if you keep on believing, the dream that you wish will come true. A dream is a wish your heart makes when you're fast asleep. In dreams you will lose your heartaches. Whatever you wish for, you keep. Have faith in your dreams and someday you'll